Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr., invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome in the latest edition of the Bengals Beat podcast from the 50 West Brewery. It's the BBP. And Paul Weiner Jr., Jim Osarski, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer. Jim, we've had an eventful 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's the second you relax in this game, the second you try to relax is when it always happens.
Yes.
It's when it always happens, and it happened. It happened to us a little bit.
Yeah, we were.
Not to us.
No, yeah. It's, well, just because, again, this is the whole reason you listen to this podcast is because you want to know what it is we do. And actually, we were doing nothing. We were enjoying
we
Sunday night out in suburban Maryland. I don't know
if we crossed back over yet or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, whatever. Close enough. D.C., Maryland, enjoying ourselves. And, you know, 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday, you know, Schefter bomb.
That was it. And you know, here's even more behind the scenes. So Vontaze Burfict suspended five games, appeal happening on Tuesday. So if you're listening to this, this may have already happened. But we're, you know, so we haven't gotten there yet. We literally sat before the podcast last week and discussed for a long time whether we wanted to talk about this or not.
Right.
Because as people are seeing now with everyone yelling at each other about what should and shouldn't be a penalty or a fine or suspension, it was very murky. We had kicked around the tires to people within the organization and from a, sort of around the league even and tried to gauge what this was, when the league might rule something on it. The whole thing was a bit murky, but clearly we knew this was going to be an issue because it was Vontaze. We opted not to talk about it last week.
Yeah.
Because we weren't comfortable enough going forward with any, you know, there was a whole lot of gray area out there.
Yeah, I think
that nobody really wanted to weigh in on.
No, and honestly, I mean, the stuff you're seeing on social media and even I'm sure on your talk radio shows nationally even. I mean, one prominent morning show was in Vontaze Burfict's corner, saying this is not a, and then there's another morning show on another network just going in, it should have been eight games. I mean, it really existed, even for people who cover the league and maybe have an opinion on Vontaze or not, that I think it was gray area. And I think for the team, the sense we got was he shouldn't have put himself in that position to have this happen or be questioned or reviewed. Even then, Paul, I don't know if anyone thought like maybe he'd catch a fine, but maybe not suspended, but it could be legal, so maybe not. I mean, I think as of last week, and then even Thursday, Paul, we checked with the league, and the league was like, well, we're not ready to announce fines, you know, preseason, maybe next week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll kind of timestamp it. 18 hours later, it's like, oh, suspension.
Right. And not just any suspension. 5 games. I mean, basically a third of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, here's – so what this amounted to was, if you go by the rules, what they're referencing, you have in this past year, point of emphasis – multiple things tied in with that point of emphasis wise. One, they are continuing to be very serious about cracking down on hits away from the play.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. It's literally the first paragraph
right.
under 2017 points of emphasis has the phrase continuing away from the play. Trying to kill that a little bit. Then also, this year they added a player out in a route now has defenseless player protection, which is a right to not get hit in the head and neck area, and particularly when you are considered a defensive player. And if you are approaching, so the play in question was Anthony Sherman coming out of the backfield. If you haven't gone to Cincinnati.com, we have screenshots there. Videos are up everywhere. You've probably seen them by now. And he's looking back towards Alex Smith. And Alex Smith has let go of the ball as Sherman's still looking back. And it's clearly going deep. It goes 36 yards to Travis Kelce over the top. And Vontaze Burfict comes up. He literally makes contact while the ball is directly above them, about 30 feet.
Yeah.
And blows him up into the, not helmet to helmet, but in the, like, high numbers.
Yeah.
And it blew him up.
Yeah.
Blew him up. He, in that situation, from the side, you're, if the guy's engaged in blocking, you're allowed.
Yeah.
But if you come in from the side, the league, this is not me talking. This isn't Jim being vindictive, even though everyone thinks that I hate Vontaze Burfict, apparently, on Twitter.
You do.
Apparently. Everyone thinks that.
They're all going after you.
I didn't suspend him. All I'm saying is what the league is saying. Come in from the side and have a violent hit. They are cracking. They are making a point. They do not want that in their game. That is in their right. 2017 point of emphasis and rule changed by the competition committee, of which Marvin Lewis is on, so he's very familiar with it. And that's where the league came from. And then you throw in on the end, oh, yeah, stamp repeat offender.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so big. It's 5.
Yeah.
You know, I would have thought if it was anybody else, big fine. Maybe a game.
Yeah.
But when you throw in the repeat offender that Vontaze Burfict has been, the league is clearly not having any of his act anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why it came in so big. We'll see what happens after appeal. Because, how about this? The Bengals basically draw along the line in the sand and said, no, NFL, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that's a very un-Bengals-like, you know, decision. You know, they released a statement right about midnight Eastern Monday morning when they got back from Washington. So, again, they knew that he was suspended. I think they were surprised that it got out because the appeal is Tuesday, as you said, Paul. And so, yeah, I'm interested. I mean, it's kind of good timing for the Bengals. Like, it's cut week. Or if you will, so there's really no availability. Marvin Lewis is only available once.
Tuesday. Tuesday is the only available, and we'll get
Marvin. Oh, he can't wait to see us.
Well, it's going to be, it'll be crowded.
Yeah. Here we go again.
Here we go again.
But the team, so, I mean, but you're right. The team put out this statement. I'm sure Marvin will try to just say that's the statement, and that is what it is. And, you know, but I don't know. I mean, it's not really like a Jerry Jones Robert Kraft sort of thing, but at least for the Bengals, it's a little out of character.
Yeah, I mean, no one cares if Mike Brown is mad at Roger
right.
Goodell.
People
yeah. care if Bob Kraft
right.
or Jerry Jones are. So it's different, but I do think it's a similar to reaction to what you got out of Dallas and what you got out of New England
yeah.
with Deflategate and with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension is, and it's the same thing we talk about all the time in matters of discipline. We talked about it a lot this offseason in regards to Adam Jones.
Yeah.
nothing should ever surprise you that comes out of the commissioner's office when it comes to punishment.
Right.
This guy has never been consistent or predictable or following or even needing precedent.
Right.
To do anything.
Right. It's collectively bargained. He doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to. And so he doesn't. And so if he wants it to be 5, it can be 5. If he wants it to be 10, it can be 10. There's no rules to follow. There's no precedent there. Well, this equals this and that equals that. There's none of that. It's complete whim.
Yep.
And that's why this ends up such a huge fine. I mean, this is going to be over $1 million in game checks lost by Vontaze. And it's going to put him for his career up around knocking on the door of $2 million lost in fines and lost game checks. It's crazy. And, you know, Roger is just sort of saying, I can choose who I want to choose to vilify. I can choose who I want to make an example out of.
Yeah.
I can choose who I can just tell I've had enough of your act.
Here's the thing. This is kind of, we're going to feed into Bengals fan conspiracy stuff here, but you know, the league does care about PR, and they could have suspended Vontaze for 10 games, and they're going to win the PR battle on a national level. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it took us a while to kind of get to the bottom as to why he was suspended and what rules were violated and what was behind the league's thing, because as we're recording this, the league, but oh, by the way, has it come out and said, yes, he's been suspended.
Just everybody else.
Everybody
has.
Else, including the team and Vontaze.
Yes.
So the league is just like, oh, well, we don't need to actually say anything about it.
And I can understand them have wanting to wait till the appeal process was done.
Which is weird, though, because they don't do that all the time.
They don't.
They normally just announce suspension, then appeal, and then announce the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, this is they kind of got – this is like, wiffle ball to Giancarlo Stanton. You know what I mean? Like, here you go.
Yeah.
Whoop. And, I mean, really no one outside of this market is going to think one way or the other about it because
no.
Vontaze's history.
Because I go back to the 2016 Super Bowl week when it was right after the suspension had come down on Vontaze and the Antonio Brown hit and the Max Williams hit and all that stuff. The accumulation of player safety violations and then Vontaze and Marvin Lewis had a sit down with Roger Goodell and you know what was said there. From this point forward,
right,
the leash is going to be tight, and anything that happens with you, you're going to get the hammer. And you know that was part of it. And so when last year they go through that year, and really he only had one personal foul.
Yeah.
But he did have the $75K fine for the stomping incident that was debated in New England of LeGarrette Blount. But no one else was writing about the vilification of Vontaze Burfict nationally.
Right.
Because everyone was hopping on the spoon-fed hype train of this guy is an animal.
Right.
And, hey, look over here at Vontaze Burfict. Well, oh, by the way, 4 rules of your game need to be changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the way the referees and the whole game as a whole, I'm not blaming referees for anything, but the game as a whole was really butchered and things happened. They literally had to change all kinds of rules because it was so badly butchered. And then they chose to vilify Vontaze Burfict. This is a continuation of that in a lot of ways. He's an easy guy to make an example out of. For the league to have this thing that they're trying to change the game.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
They want the game to look different.
Yeah.
They don't want it to look like it has looked, and they don't want it to. They don't want to have players who play like Vontaze Burfict. That is the league's position.
Right.
This is not my position. This is the. I don't hate it.
What about Mike Mitchell, Paul?
Oh yeah. What about
Mike Mitchell?
What about Mike Mitchell? It brings out angry Steeler guy. It brings out angry Bengal guy. They fight on my timeline, and they all get mad at me. Because I'm in cahoots.
We have no idea, people. Like, trust us. We see the same stuff you do. You send us the links and the Reddit pages. We thank you for that. It's great. We saw Mike Mitchell headhunt Tyler Eifert. I cannot tell you why He's never been suspended or fined for that stuff. I don't know, because it goes back to how Paul started this. Because Raj does what he does and decides want to. And you can read into that how you want with, you know, Rooney bias and all that stuff. Whatever. But that's not our job.
No.
Our job is to report what happens.
What the league says, yeah. What the team says, what the PA says.
Yeah.
And what everyone's saying in the fight that's ongoing. And the Bengals are the Bengals and the PA and Tez's people.
Yeah.
Are all linked arm in arm, walking in on the league right now, together, saying we don't like this.
Raj coming off the top rope with double elbows.
And Raj is like, I don't care how many of you there are. Yeah. I got the Trump card. Yeah. He's unstoppable.
Yeah.
He's
like, I just signed for $100 million. Yeah. Get out.
You know how much money I make just to stay
more
here?
Than 105 year. That's like a $200 million deal.
Yeah, just to sit here and be everyone's whipping boy, you know, take all the heat so the owners don't have to. Anyway, so what this presents really, in a season where this team was going to be on the fringes, and we'll get to the 53-man roster here a little bit, but that was going to be on the fringes of the playoff anyway.
Yeah,
probably needed a fast start to do it because the schedule set up for them nicely with the first five games. A little bit. I mean, I shouldn't say nicely. Baltimore is a train wreck right now.
Yeah.
Houston has Tom Savage at quarterback.
And a whole other now off
and now a whole other thing.
Stuff. Yeah.
Right. And Green Bay at Green Bay is a tough one.
Yeah.
Buffalo, who's sold their team off.
Yeah.
And Cleveland.
Yeah.
DeShone Kizer, who couldn't start at Notre Dame for a while.
Yeah.
So it's sitting there as, that looks like it's for the taking. But now, you know, you take out Adam Jones for the opener. You take out Tez, and it puts that in jeopardy.
Oh, yeah,
they
Sean Williams.
That. And Sean Williams.
We got three of the 11 gone.
Right, and those were, you know, where they're playing a lot of young guys, and they're trying to get a lot of young guys in there. You taking the vets away. So it really – they needed a fast start because of the ability to do that, and I think it's going to get harder as the year goes along. So this puts that in jeopardy, where if they're looking, the difference between 8-8, 9-7 could be the difference, or 10-6 and 9-7 will be the difference in their season. This is what – I mean, it's – everybody listening to this knows what kind of brutal blow this is, but it's huge.
And I think, honestly, it's kind of like the 15 wild card game where Vontaze was the best player on the field for 59 minutes and 26 seconds, something like that. I mean, Sunday in Washington was a vintage Vontaze Burfict performance for a quarter and three plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, four tackles, pass defense, and then, of course, the highlight of the preseason, which some people were like, the NFL's promoting him, and then they suspend him. Bad hot take, James. Bad. But anyway, an interception in the flat, reads a route. He says they saw it on film. Run, touchdown, slows down to give Kirk Cousins a little what have you in the face, jumps in the stands, and then at the end of the game says,
Find me. Go ahead. Yeah, I slowed down to get Kirk Cousins in the face, and I jumped in the stands because I don't care and you can find me.
So here's Vontaze post game. He's avoided us for the most part all of training camp. This is the first time he's spoken, and he was walking out. He didn't want to talk to some other people in the locker room, so Jeff Hobson and I talked to him, and you'll hear in the background here some players or some like stuff going on behind us, and that's them shouting at him to stop the interview in a way or to not talk. Jim Haslett won't be heard on this, but he was back there sort of making gestures, and little did we know that they knew what was on his plate, and either A, they thought we knew and might be asking him, or that he might just say something about it, which he didn't. But again, I think when you hear the end of this and he talks about how he wanted to enjoy that moment, and now you know what was coming, perhaps that explains it.
Out in the flat there.
Had to run it back. I kind of knew the play off the film study. Anticipated it. Kind of trying to bait the quarterback to it.
I need to get out of the way with the interview and shit.
try to act like he was open in the last second when I see his arm caught. I just took my chance. Really, I was thinking he was going to probably run a wheel. But once I seen his shoulders turn to the sideline, then I thought, oh, I think I got the quarterback. And then he looked last second and threw it, and I just jumped it.
Did you bait him a little bit?
Yeah, I tried to. Didn't want to bait him too much because then obviously he'd probably catch the ball. So. But try to act like, you know, he was open, and then last second just come up in the ground and go.
Did you think about the Philly game at all? In terms of, like, I know you wanted to get to to get to the end zone. Was that
coming out?
Feel good?
Yeah, you know, 65 yards. I just had
right
to.
5 seconds.
I just had to. Obviously, I wasn't going to get caught by the quarterback, and then once I seen that I was 10 yards in, I was like, well, I'm gonna slow down and give him a stiff arm. So switch the ball and give him a stiff arm, and then jump in the stands, of course.
The first four third downs were unbelievable. I mean, you had a pick on third down, but the first three before that, you got pressure. You got there were two sacks and a.
We, as a defense, we played lights out soon, and you know, we had some of our guys returning that was that wasn't here last week and the week before, which was like Dre, and you know, it just adds a different energy once we you know, get to all of our full pieces out there, and we're gonna be a great defense because, you know, Coach G does a great job of a film study during the week, and we know what the team's running before we get in the lineup.
I imagine that was important for you guys to get those first three and outs. Your pick six obviously was a fourth three and out essentially in a row. Right, I mean, that's what you want to see this third game.
Yeah, like I said, us having everybody out there, it kind of puts the mark on where we're at as a defense. And, you know, last year I think we started off pretty slow some games and teams were scoring first down, so we just wanted to come out of the three and out and hit them in the mouth. And obviously when you hit them in the mouth, they feel like they don't want to play them.
Looked like you were aware of the celebration rules.
Honestly, I didn't even care about the celebration rules. I get fined a lot, so you might as well find it and have fun with it.
Was that just, we couldn't see, was that your momentum, honestly, like, or was that just something that you saw?
No, I was so tired. I was so tired. I was like, I'm going to go up there and take a seat. And I got up there, I'm like, it's kind of cool, so just enjoying the moment, man.
Right.
Okay, it's about that time for full disclosure mode here on the BBP. And that is where you're like, wait, Paul, Jimmy, this sounds different. It sounds a little different than it did just a second ago. Yeah, that's because we originally recorded this and something got corrupted with the recording of us doing the 53-man projection. So here we are doing it again, except Jim's at his place and I'm at mine and we're less than enthused about it. So you're going to get the abridged version of the 53-man roster. Still with enthusiasm, but we're going to run through this pretty fast.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you just spent the last – two BDPs getting full breakdowns of offense and defense. You shouldn't need us to do this again.
I think I've only changed just a little bit off of what I've talked about the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've altered it a little bit as well, but let's blow through it. Let's go through right now on offense in the quarterback room. I have three, so I've sort of altered. I'm now with three, Dalton, McCarron, and Driscoll. I just think it's what I think they will do. Not necessarily what I would do, but it's what I think they will do is go with three because I just think the McCarron thing is hanging out there and they want to have somebody in-house who they feel like they're developing, who knows what's going on and be there to take over when he goes.
Right, yeah, and that was my thing, Paul, was, you know, obviously I believe that this team would keep Jeff Driscoll this year. I thought he had to play his way out of that. Well, I don't think he was great against Kansas City. Being asked to sort of stay in the pocket and move the ball in sort of a different manner, obviously, than we saw him sort of go back to that sort of bootlegging running style that was so successful week one in the preseason. Yeah, you're right. I think he's done enough to keep the job and to make them believe there's room to grow there. And you're right, with A.J. McCarron's whatever situation, whether it's he's a restricted free agent or unrestricted, you know, I think something's going to change there for sure going into 2018.
Yeah, you're right about that. So then we get to receivers, and I have them keeping seven. I've sort of changed it around. I've had Core out. I've had Erickson out. I've had keeping seven. I think I'm back to now keeping seven again. And I cannot justify cutting Alex Erickson. If you care at all about a guy that plays well when you give him an opportunity to, I I just don't think you can cut the guy. All he's done is make plays. He did it in the regular season last year. He did it in the preseason last year. He did it in the preseason this year. Every opportunity, he's made plays. And I'm telling you, I would keep him above Cody Core because I continue to be disappointed in Cody Core not making enough plays as a receiver. He had another big shot on Sunday with a chance to come down with a 50-50 ball right after a turnover in the end zone and couldn't do it. Was it an easy catch? No. But he too often does not make those plays as a receiver. And so, but I have him keeping seven because I think they want to see his special team stuff.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Paul, to me is when this started, I had Erickson as sort of my bubble seventh. And while he hasn't been very dynamic on special teams at all, we've seen him do that through an NFL season. I think he has been featured more a bit as a receiver this preseason. And, I'll give him credit. He's gotten himself open. A.J. McCarron's favorite guy when he's been in there and I think has proven he can run routes, catch the ball, and be a little dynamic. You didn't really see the big play, touchdowns, things like that. But frankly, we didn't even see that out of A.J. Green this preseason. So, I think I'm with seven as well. Cody Core, you're right. Not super impressive, but I could tell you in house, they really like his development and what they're seeing in practice. So, and there's a special teams element there, to be quite honest. At this point, as we roll through the rest of this roster, that group for Darren Simmons is going to be real young and have some holes. So, I think Cody Core fits that role more in 2017. Than maybe anyone would have anticipated.
Yep, I would agree with that. Let's go through the offensive line. I think this is pretty obvious now. Obviously, Trey Hopkins is the right guard, has been since pretty much day two. So
right.
That's what it is. So Fisher, Hopkins, Bodine, Bowling, away your starting five. And then after that, T.J. Johnson, J.J. Dielman, Christian Westerman, I think are your four, and Eric Winston I think gets cut, and he just hasn't been good enough. And we saw Andre Smith playing at left tackle on Sunday, the second half, clearly trying to find that swing spot for him, knowing that if you're going to be a backup, you're going to need to be able to do left and right and take over that spot, and did fairly well at it.
Yeah, I think honestly, Paul, that might have spelled the end of Eric Winston for sure. Neither of us have really had him pegged on this roster to begin with, but the fact that Andre Smith played left tackle, and if you're into PFF, thought he was fantastic, against Washington. And look, now if all of a sudden you feel better about Andre left and right as your primary swing with Trey Hopkins can do that, and you got some backup guards. You're right. I think they keep nine, but I think Eric Winston's a veteran who's out, and Alex Redmond is the young guy who's out, shifted to the practice squad, keeping recent draft picks Christian Westerman and J.J. Dielman.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Let's get into tight end. Tyler Eifert, who did not play Sunday, was sort of a late scratch by Marvin Lewis. It states that he could have played if it was a regular season game. He had a knee tendonitis, which was the one thing that he hadn't hurt yet. Right? it was literally probably the only body part that he had not hurt yet. So now he's sort of completed, the full run of it, I guess, at this point. So he didn't play. But he's fine. They're focused on making sure he's good to go for the opener, which he is. Tyler Croft will be there. And then you've got Mason Schreck sitting out there. You've got C.J. Uzomah probably, I would think, going to the IR. He maybe could be on one of the return designations later. I have him keeping Mason Schreck. I know you don't.
No, and part of it is I didn't think he was going to make the team to begin with, just by nature of it. And then he left Washington in a brace that we could see. I don't know that I'm just speculating here, Paul, but I think what this does is it gives them an easy out to put him on IR. They don't have to expose a draft pick to the waiver wire. With two guys to designate to a return, it's just a safe spot. And to me, I think CJ Uzama also goes on IR. I mean, he's still in a boot, at least as of this recording, still on a crutch. You know, it's going to be a little while. And I think Sunday we saw Tyler Croft and Ryan Hewitt doing fairly well as sort of the two tight ends, if you will. So that's where I'm short here early going into September 10th is just Eifert, Croft, and Ryan Hewitt as sort of your tight ends. /H-back, just three there.
Right, yeah. And then it gets into the running back position where Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, Joe Mixon, obviously. Cedric Peterman is out there, but he had an injury on Sunday, which we're still unsure on the severity of. And honestly, I think he was falling onto the bubble a little bit anyway, despite how great he is on special teams.
Yeah, and this is another one where I think special teams matters. However, again, just like the Shrek thing, I think this is where Cedric Peterman again fits in. Again, not sort of predicting severity of injury. However, if this is a thing, a shoulder where he may not be able to go, I could see IR for Cedric Peterman opening the door for Trey Carson to see if he's the younger Cedric Peterman. They like Trey Carson as a runner. Obviously, he's much younger. And again, it kind of gives you a window where you can kind of stash a guy you know you like and you know what he can do if he comes back in 8 weeks or not. You know what I mean? So But I do think four running backs is important to this team, especially for special teams.
Yep. So we'll see how that plays out. Injuries are going to have a lot to do with how the back end of tight end, H-back, running back looks. So right. We'll see how those play out going into this weekend. Let's move over to defense. The defensive line has been the mess to try to figure out this whole time. And I think it's settled in, and I think guys have earned positions. It's been less of, well, we don't know who to put in there. There's guys have clearly stepped up. You could talk about the starters, Dunlap, Atkins, Billings. And then there's Michael Johnson, who we've gone into debates about, but continued to show ability to play in the interior, which I think has ended up being his saving grace, keeping him on this roster. They've really been looking for somebody to put in there in the nickel next to Geno Atkins and be productive and be able to pass rush. And Johnson looks like he's providing that. I mean, I think it's probably the reason that he hangs on.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, yet again, we saw him attempting to rush on the outside in Washington, and it did not go well. But yet again, move him inside, and suddenly he's beating guards, and he forced an intentional grounding near sack against Kirk Cousins. He's been a factor inside. And here's the thing, Paul, for the discussion all last week about Michael Johnson, and is he the veteran, and fans have sort of picked him as the one. The thing for me is we're still talking about Michael Johnson flashing and making plays in games and before in practice when we haven't said the same about Will Clark 4 years in, 5-6 years younger. And this is where I've changed from a week ago. I think Will is my man looking outside in as they keep eight, and they keep eight because they feel good enough about Carl Lawson being the sort of 8.5, if you will. Rushing off the edge and nickel, I just think, you know, I love Will, but I think we're just flat out not talking about him. Of the entire group, and I think Chris Smith makes this team too for that same reason. We're talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, like, Knox and made a lot of discussion with these guys, like, yeah, they did it in the second half, or they didn't do anything to the starters. Will Clark has been out there with the same group that amongst Chris Smith, Jordan Willis, you know, Carl Lawson, all these guys have been out there, and we've been saying their names repeatedly and not talking about Will. I do think he's the last one in. I think that they keep nine and hang on to him, but you're right. That's a tough call. He is the last kind of man on the border there to see which way they go, if they decide to keep nine or not. And to be honest with you, I don't see him being active on game day if they do. And perhaps that maybe gives away why they would cut him, because they'd be, you know, then if you don't have him in your 46, that falls over to Duke Tobin, who's going to look for someone who's younger, who's more of a prospect that they'd like to hang on to elsewhere on the roster. So that will be one to watch, you know, whether they keep 9 or they keep 8. And I think we agree Will Clark's got to be the one on the bubble. I can't imagine a scenario where we don't keep Chris Smith with what he's done. I just can't imagine a scenario. I mean, there's just no way. So that's how that's – that means Marcus Hardison, Wallace Gilberry, Deshaun Williams all on the outside as well on that defensive line. I just think that they've gotten younger and more dynamic, and those other guys earned it much more so than you can, you know. Right. You just didn't see as much from those three guys I just mentioned.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah, let's go into the linebackers. So it gets weird here because you've got Vontaze Burfict now with a suspension. So what does that mean? There's going to be an extra linebacker. I have it with Marquise Flowers right now for the reason of that last linebacker is going to be a guy playing special teams, right? And that's something Marquise Flowers has done. That's something he's comfortable doing. And I think Darren Simmons would be comfortable with him out there playing on that unit in an opening day scenario or a first 5 weeks or whatever it ends up being scenario. So I have Flowers getting to stick around because Vontaze Burfict's suspension.
Yeah, I agree too. While the snaps in the preseason totally go against this line of thought, I mean, fans have seen Brandon Bell and Hardy Nickerson Jr. out there for 2-3 games, but I think that's you hit the nail on the head, Paul. Marquise Flowers can play special teams, and to me, it's position based here. Vontaze Burfict's a weak side linebacker. Marquise Flowers he plays that position. He does have speed. We know he can run. And frankly, you've got, I mean, Bell and Nickerson are middle linebackers. I mean, Kevin Minter's there and Vinny Ray's there. You just, when you're looking at spots and what roles guys can fill, it's speed on the outside and special teams knowledge, and Marquise Flowers hits both of those markers.
He does. So that would be him sticking around. Then we get into the DBs, and with Adam Jones's suspension, well, where is that extra spot going to come from? I have them, you know, you've got your trio of starters for opening day with William Jackson III, Draker Patrick, Darquez Nard. You have George Iluka will be back. Sean Williams will probably miss. We don't know. He probably will come back at some point in September, but, you know, you're looking at week three or four or somewhere in that area. So Clayton Fedgelum looks like he's kind of taken over as a starter there.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy they like. We'll see some Deron Smith because I think they're going to want to mix and match a little bit. But so you've got those guys. Josh Shaw is your do-it-all swing, every position type of guy. But for 1 week, there is another spot there. And, you know, where's it going to be? Where do you think it comes from?
I think the presence of Josh Shaw and the fact that I think he's played okay in that safety spot, especially we saw it, you know, over the tight ends, Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed, a big issue for this team. I think the extra DB is going to be Bene Benwickery, the veteran corner they brought in. I mean, he can do both. I mean, we're only talking about one game here. But let's just say something happens. He can play corner inside, outside. He has a nose for the ball a little bit. He's made some plays. And, you know, I could see them carrying him against special teams, knows what's going on. I don't think, even if the worst with George Iloka, Paul, and he's not ready for week one, which there's no indication that he won't be, you still can roll with Josh Shaw, Deron Smith, Clayton Fedgelum. I think you need another corner in there as opposed to, say, Demetrius Cox, the undrafted free agent, who is also playing safety. Actually, the last safety on the roster currently.
Yeah, that will be interesting to watch, see where it comes from. I think I'm with you on that. You just want somebody who it's not going to be too big for him if they are, for some reason, thrown into it out there. So, but then that will change, and you would think he would be the first one to go in a scenario where Adam Jones comes back in week two or that Thursday night game against Houston. Speaking of that Thursday night game against Houston, I think we have definitely decided that game will for sure come down to a Randy Bullock cut, right? Just the circle of life in the NFL would have to be like that, because look, Randy Bullock has been the better kicker, period. You just can't say anything else. We saw the big move on Sunday where Bullock from 53, boom, hits it right down the middle, plenty of leg. Again, it's another big kick for him. He has not missed in the preseason. He hasn't really missed in practices. He hasn't really missed in scrimmages. He only missed one time last year, really, and it was a big one. It was at Houston for the win, right. But we had the operation was messed up, so you can kind of put an asterisk next to that. You cannot, while you drafted Jake Elliott in the fifth round, and that's fine. You have a lot of hope for him. You called it a real competition. One guy has clearly been better, and I think you have more confidence in him if you have to go out there and make a big kick in the opener or even against Houston on Thursday.
Right. And look, the very beginning of this BBP season for us, Paul, dating back to the offseason, was about sense of urgency with this coaching staff. People can read our season preview here coming up on the 3rd. And the theme is this is a team sort of on the edge that can be good or maybe not so good. And I don't know if they can roll with a squirrely kicker. And Jake Elliott has talent without a doubt. I do believe Darren Simmons when he says he'll be somewhere else if he's cut. But Randy Bullock has not been squirrely. This camp, at the end of last year, I thought he was pretty unflappable, even after that sort of tough loss Christmas Eve. And you're right, I think they're going to go with a guy I think they feel they know can make a 48-yarder against Houston on Thursday Night Football. But, you know, that's just – I think that's going to be a Daner gamer maybe.
Yeah, that really feels.
Should we just call it now?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we pretty much know exactly what that's going to be. So the other thing about – Randy Bullock is, you know, we see a lot of kickers in this league. You look at some of the best kickers in the league. They bounce around their first 3-4 years, and then they find a spot for 5-10 years, and they just get comfortable and they get on a roll. And I think that maybe is what we are seeing with Randy Bullock.
Yeah,
I mean that could be a thing. There's no reason to believe that he couldn't be that, as much as Jake Elliott could be that. So to say there's maybe more future with Jake Elliott isn't necessarily true, even though there's some track record on Randy Bullock and not being able to stick around. I mean, he's shown quite a bit at this point. They've put him in every spot, and he's answered the bell every single time. That means something to me. So that's pretty much it. That's the 53 as we see it. Of course, the Bengals will do their cut down after Thursday's game against Indianapolis. We'll learn the final cuts on Saturday afternoon. Keep an eye on Cincinnati.com for that. We'll bring you all of it. So we wrap up our little kind of abridged version of the 53. Hopefully you got a good feel for it. Well, you know, if we need to hire somebody to, you know, come along and maybe be in charge of making sure the files don't get corrupted when we talk about the 53-man roster. I feel like we have a way that we can make sure we get the best candidates, Jim.
ZipRecruiter, Paul.
Yes.
ZipRecruiter. That is where you will post this job for uncorrupted files to find the best candidates. Because, you know, it's a challenge finding that talent. It is. Trust me. We know.
And we can't do it, apparently.
No. And obviously the importance of finding that great talent is to get a successful business. ZipRecruiter. Post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. Does it one day, Paul? BBP's on Tuesday. One day, you would find it. No juggling emails, no calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates in all one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes, from Paul's one-man BBP operation to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners, because we hook you up, post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. One more time. Not corrupted. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
That's right. So I'm going to post that job immediately, and hopefully we'll have uncorrupted files next week. In the meantime, we're going to wrap up our special version here, but it's time for our optimistic Bobby question of the week. And then Paul and Jim from earlier will return and be back to finish off the podcast for you. Time travel! All right, Optimistic Bobby, you're up.
All right, welcome in. It's once again time for 50 West owner Bobby Slattery to come in and bring his optimism. Optimistic Bobby, how are we doing?
I couldn't be better.
Really?
50 West made me alive.
I know, but even when you're surrounded by like beer and people having fun and like playing volleyball and stuff, it's tough to be an optimistic Bengals fan when Fontez Burfict comes down with a 5-game suspension. It's challenging. I think this is going to need to be like your finest hour, you know.
Hey, the appeal's still out there, right? Or no?
It is still out there. So there you go. Reason for optimism.
There's a chance. You're telling me.
I'm telling you there's a chance. So there's hope. So, all right. So what do you got? What do you got for us this week? Where do you want us to go?
Well, the third preseason game has been played, which is obviously the most important game of the entire NFL season because it tells you everything there is to know, right?
Of course.
So we're going into the fourth preseason game, which is obviously there's not, it'll be exciting to get to see your team out there, but not many takeaways. So I want to get personal with this question. You're going to have, I'm sure you guys have been addressing it here, but from a personal level, there's a lot of good people over there at the Bengals that you deal with on a regular basis. So of the guys that are there that you think are in jet, well, who would you miss the most? Who's the guy that you're going to say, oh, man, I'm sad that I don't get to see him anymore?
I like this. Well, we love talking about good guys. You know, too often you end up talking about all the guys that do things that aren't so nice because they dominate headlines. Headlines are full of negativity, but Bobby, you bring the positivity. And that's what it's all about. It's what you're here for.
I appreciate that. All right. Well, you guys.
Right. I'm very excited about this. 50 Fest, right? Coming up on the 23rd, right?
50 Fest is right. We just renewed the NFL ticket over at 50 West Production Works, and we have a brand new menu coming out this year. So anybody interested in coming to watch Bengals games and, you know, any other football games down at Production Works, we will have that in full effect and, you know, hope to see everybody down there.
Sounds great. Thank you. And we know what else you'll find there besides every game on the NFL ticket? Plenty of optimism and positivity.
Always there. We accept all optimistic Bengals fans whenever they want to come down. Root them on.
All right. Sounds great, Bobby. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Hooday.
All right. So Bobby wants to know, of all those guys we talked about who were in jeopardy or possibly losing a job, who would we miss the most? Now, this is just us. This is Scribe L. Scribe L, good guy. Lots of more good guys. So I don't want to pick one and say that, oh, but you think there's like the other ones are bad guys. I wouldn't say that at all. But I've got one in mind. Do you have one?
I had several in mind. I took this question two ways. So why don't you go first?
I had Will Clark.
Yeah.
He's just a super – athletes don't always treat us as like actual humans.
Right.
You know, like they don't care.
Yeah.
We're just a nuisance.
Yes.
You never feel like that with Will Clark.
No.
Like he always is interested. He loves to talk with you. You know, he's just a super nice guy, family man.
Yes.
You know, just, and he's been a good kid when he first came in here. He's a mature guy and just, you know, ideal.
Yeah.
Ideal for if you're a scribe.
Yeah.
Or just anybody.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, he would be on that list. I took this question two ways. First, miss the most, as in gone, as in I think Jake Elliott would be, from a football perspective, only because people would see him make a lot of kicks somewhere else, and Randy Bullock's going to miss like a game winner against Houston again, and everyone's going to hate it. So,
isn't it inevitable that Houston game will come down to a Randy Bullock kick? Yeah.
Wide right, 48 yards, the escalator. I'm calling it right now, calling the shot. So there's that, but this is optimistic Bobby.
Yeah.
Although this is sad for us, because like, who do we miss? I'll go same vein as you, though, Wallace Gilberry. And the reason I picked Wallace, Because Wallace is a little more intense than Will. Wallace has his moods. Wallace could be angry with you. But also Wallace gets it. He will be there if need be. He'll stand up for if he played well. He's a guy to go to speak about the team in general. And
league,
he got
league perspective.
League perspective, and he's got that dog. Sometimes, like, he'll say something.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh stuff's popping off.
Yeah, he don't care.
There's Wallace.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he kind of fits a lot of things along the Will Clark line, but maybe a little more exciting in
yes.
a lot of ways.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
But
you're
no,
right
I can't really disagree with Will in that way.
Yeah, so there's lots of, I mean.
Why are you making us sad, Bobby? I think it's because we've made him sad the last few weeks since we started.
Yeah,
this.
We keep beating down his optimism one week at a time.
So
we
he's
just
like,
keep
no,
crushing
I'm gonna kneecap you guys.
Yeah. If you find us dead, you know who's on the list. We're buried in this volleyball courts. All right, so let's see. What's making you mad?
Yeah, I got to bring this up now. I can't wait on this one any longer because the weather's going to get close to turning. So we have discussed my distaste of men's fashion many times, I think, on this podcast. Mm-hmm. That there's things I don't like that come into fashion for the male species.
Mm-hmm.
There's I don't want to see your feet.
I don't want to see your feet.
No flip-flops. No sandals. I don't want to see man feet.
No.
Because, look, I understand why y'all wear them. Easy. Don't have to put socks on. Just slide them in. No. Because guess what? You are not Kavari Russell showing us your pedicure on Instagram. Most men are not doing the things you need to do to walk around to show other people your feet, especially me.
Toe fungus.
It's gross. Men are gross, generally. Man feet, super gross. And men's public bathrooms, the worst. And there's this little thin line of flip-flop.
Mm.
No, mm. No. It's so nasty.
Yeah, you getting caught in a public bathroom with a flip-flop on.
Makes me mad.
That
I'm like, you are setting us all back.
Setting us all back. Oh, man. Have you ever seen the Mario Lopez toe fungus commercial?
No, I don't want to see that.
No, it's about he's hosting a red carpet show, and
a female lead comes
out with her little shoe, and he goes, looks like it's toe fungus. It's the only thing I want to yell at Mario Lopez. And anytime anybody talks about feet, all I can ever think now is toe fungus. Anyway.
Yeah.
So what's making me happy is what is going to turn out to be the forgotten element of our trip to Washington, D.C. We, on Sunday morning of the game, took a nice stroll through the Smithsonian.
We did.
We went through the American History Museum. We saw the invention area. We went through the transportation area.
Yeah.
You know what made me happy is that we never have to attempt a trip like two dudes and a dog named Bud did.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
When they did the first cross-country automobile trip. How hard is that? It takes... You're just stuck in Wisconsin for like a week and a half because you got caught in a rut because there's no roads anywhere and you just wanted to go across country.
You're happy for 2017.
I'm happy that we have roads everywhere.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry if I want to drive across the country. I can. I probably won't. I'll probably just fly.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that I didn't have to take me and you and my dog Uncle Phil and try to drive across the country. I don't even want to drive to the west side with Uncle Phil. He goes crazy whenever I go to crossover downtown. But anyway, that made me happy, though, to go through the museum. I had a great time. And then later that night, all I could think was, man, when we look back on this trip in like a year or two, we are not going to remember that nice little trip to the Smithsonian.
No, we're not.
That is not going to be the first thing that comes to our minds. It's going to be the 11 p.m. Schefter bomb about Vontaze Burfict that we spent all night and morning and in the middle of flights and trying to find Wi-Fi on GoGo Wireless. And
yeah. 1 a.m.
But we're okay. But we're okay.
Yeah, we're good. We're here for you.
We're here for you. We do it for you. And we'll be here for you every week. Next week, week one.
Yeah.
Season preview edition. So our special section is coming out Sunday. Sunday's paper. Pick it up. Go pick up the newspaper. You'll want this one. Our Bengals season preview section, my predictions, Jim's predictions, special cover story that y'all are going to like that Jim's been working on. That I think I'd argue the most important variable on the team this year.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff going to be in there. So make sure you pick that up. That's coming out Sunday, of course. A lot of it will be online. It'll all pretty much be online, so you can check that out there too. Beyond the Stripes.
Yeah.
It's officially BTS season every Tuesday from this Tuesday on out. Andrew Billings. We're at Holy Grail on Tuesday nights. Holy Grail this year. 7 o'clock, Holy Grail, Tuesday. We have Andrew Billings as our guest this week. And then in week one, we have Tyler Eifert. Big. Starting off
big.
Starting off big, TIF85. I got to get him on board with my calculator nickname thing. That we got to get this off the ground.
Yeah.
The TIF85, no one likes it.
Kareem likes Eifert Tower.
Come on. Eifert Tower is like a cliche type of thing. The TIF85 is for inside math nerds.
He's like the solar panel thing where you can get like half a number sometimes.
He is. So, even more perfect. The actual The actual Eiffel Tower is solid. It's there every day for you. The Eiffel Tower is there. The lights are coming on. They're flickering every night. Yeah. You know, you never take a boat ride down the river and don't see the Eiffel Tower.
That is true.
Guess what happens with the TIF85? Solar power malfunction.
We love Tyler.
We do love
Tyler. Tyler's got a good sense of humor.
We love Tyler
too.
Because he laughs about it with us.
Yes, he does have. Yeah.
He laughs about it with us. Yeah. So we will be laughing about that.
Yeah.
At Beyond the Stripes. Every Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Holy Grail. Come down and see it. You can watch it also online, live streaming, archived, all that good stuff. And we'll have stuff from it on the podcast. Because guess what else comes back next week? God, Jim, we do too much.
Yeah.
The Deuce. It's dropping again.
Yep.
It's back. The BBP2, which we bring back, which is more of game preview type of stuff, and we have extras from the week in there. We'll be back, so not this Thursday, but next Thursday, the Thursday but right before, the Thursday of the opener in New England, which Raj will be at.
Yeah.
Probably just deciding who he wants to just suspend for no reason. And so you can catch that too. All right. Are we done? We just ran through a lot of stuff, and I'm already tired, so we're not here. All right. We will talk to you next week on the BBP. Have a great one, everybody.